top of the morning to your pizza. You smoothie me, ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning.
Amen, amen, amen. Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Tedline. Good morning, world. Woo! It's Erica Shepherd coming to you from the mountaintop of Dalton, Georgia with this podcast this morning. Brothers and sisters, I feel so good in my sanctified soul. And Lord, thank you this morning for your goodness, for your mercy, for your steadfast love, and for your faithfulness towards us. Lord God, we just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. This morning, I'm going to do something a little bit different. As you know, I have that other side up. Spirits are subject unto you. And I tried to broadcast twice and something came up. And I wasn't able to do it. But that lets me know that what I was getting ready to do wasn't in God's perfect plan of how it should be done. So I just backed off and waited. And so yesterday, I don't even know how I got to it, but I came over here to the blog talk, and I began to look at some of my old stuff from 2008, 2009, 2010. It's still archived, 13, 12. But when I looked at it, I noticed that back in the day, blog talk would put how many people listen to one show. And I looked at some of those numbers, even this morning early, and I said, Jose, some of these shows had like 10,000 listeners, 4,000. Some had 12,000. Some had 12. Some had, But the ones that were up in the thousands, I said, let me listen to what this is. And as I began to listen, there's stuff in the old blog talk archives that isn't even on YouTube. Stuff that I didn't even do. I mean, I didn't do this stuff. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know who Shannon was, because Shannon wasn't, I just didn't know him, I guess. I don't know. But some of you need some of those. So the Lord told me this morning, I want you to go back And I want you to post some of those under the spirits are subject unto you. Those, and I listened to some of them that had high numbers, like some of them had 9,000 listened to one show, or 3,000 or 1,000. So I listened to some, the intro, because I pretty much know by the music. But some of them are really, really good, and they really, really informative. And some of them have some basics that I was just bringing out in terms of ministering through the Holy Spirit and ministering the hidden things and the hidden works. So what I decided to do this morning is I want to play one of these, because I had some little kids come in yesterday, two, but there's some other little kids with them from two families. And I know that they need this. I did this teaching. You'll hear the date on here, I think. But I think I did this around 2010 on familiar spirits and imaginary friends. So I'm gonna play this song, and then the next thing you hear is gonna be me doing a blog talk from 2000. I don't know what, it'll probably say what it is, on familiar spirits and imaginary friends. Now I'm also going to post this along with, at least I'm gonna get five of them up there on that spirits are subject unto you today. Five of them that I think can really help you. But before I do that, I got to go over here to the Spreaker, and I'm looking for, God told me to tell Alexander something. And I bet he's not even on here this morning. God gave me a word for him, and I don't see him. Oh, I do. I do. Good morning, Brother Alexander. Maybe you might want to, if you want to dial into the blog talk, but I got a word for you from God this morning. He called your name, and he told me, and he started talking to me about you, and I asked him, I said, Lord, please, I won't remember, so would you just hold it in me until I can talk to him? But I got a word for you from the Lord this morning. I can give it to you personally. I can give it to you over the blog talk. You tell me what you want me to do. You tell me. So you can tell me what you want me to do. And in the meantime, I'm going to play this tape from 2000. Oh, okay. I'm going to share this word with you. And then I'm going to this teaching I did. Okay. Give me a moment, please. My number is 3991. Okay. I'm going to do this. I'm going to play this teaching for you that I did maybe 2008 on familiar spirits and imaginary friends. Okay, well maybe I'll play the, because I don't see it. I don't see him on the blog talk yet. I'll go ahead and play the teaching, and I'll share this word with you that God gave me for you after I play this. All right, here it is. I guess I have the date on here, but I can always let you know when I talk this.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, brothers and sisters. This is Erica Joseph Shepherd. This is Blog Talk Radio, and you're listening to my new show, which is The Spirits Are Subject Unto You. I have with me today a guest, Minister Gloria Talbert Shepherd. And I want to go over a case, which is what we'll be doing every week from now on. The case I want to go over tonight is about a little girl. We're going to call her Princess. And Minister Gloria brought the little girl and her grandmother to a meeting. And, I mean, this was the prettiest little girl. And, I mean, she was dressed just like a princess. So I guess that's why I started calling her Princess. Anyway, Minister Gloria, praise the Lord. Good evening.
Good evening.
And first of all, when the grandmother brought the little girl, did she bring her with a particular problem that night?
Yes, she did.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, I'm going to repeat that. When your friend brought the little girl, did she bring her with a particular problem that night?
Yes, she did.
What was her problem?
She was having conversations with imaginary friends. And you took her through deliverance. And these three children, all of these children were deceased.
Yep.
And they somehow wanted just to be a friend of hers. And they actually held conversations, and she would correlate with them as if they were alive. She had two girls and one boy.
That's right. And when we got her up here to pray, she really didn't want to let go of them either, did she?
No, she didn't.
And she said that they were her friends. And when we did her deliverance, was she harmed in any way? Or was
no, she wasn't.
She actually enjoyed it, didn't
yes,
she?
Yes, she did.
And what happened, ladies and gentlemen, is that three familiar spirits came to this little girl because the little girl was lonely. She didn't have anybody to play with at her grandmother's house. And so they told her that they wanted to be her friends and they wanted to play with her, and they did. They constantly played with her, and they were there. But during the course of the ministry to the child, Minister Gloria, weren't these demons?
Yes, they were.
They were all demonic spirits that had come to this little bitty girl, and we did her deliverance, dealt with her demons, and when it was over, tell the audience what happened when she went to bed that night.
She had a visitation from the Lord, and she conversed with him, and she began to speak in a heavenly language, and she spoke mostly, the grandmother told me, the entire night, even into the next day.
And when they came in and woke her up, her hands were how? How did they find her hands? You recall?
Her hands were in extended position, praising and magnifying the Lord.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, with my new program, I'm going to be exposing these demons for what they really are. Because the Bible says in Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, "Marvel not that the spirits are subject unto you, but that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life." Now, can you think of any other one where we dealt with familiar spirits was thinking about that one because of the little girl.
Right.
And I want parents to be aware of when their children come in and they tell them about these imaginary friends. Because these imaginary friends, ladies and gentlemen, are demonic spirits masquerading in an attempt to get into and control the child from its youth up. We can no longer run around here and sit around here and accept the works of the devil. I'm talking about the hidden works of darkness through imaginary friends or any other kind of spirit. Now, I deal with these spirits every day. Minister Smith ministers with me a lot. Okay? I don't even have any desire to do anything except see the church set free from this demonic bondage that is infiltrating not the church, ladies and gentlemen, but the people of God. The people of God. And I get calls every day. I have a waiting list now that's probably about 111. But I'm telling you something. These familiar spirits are infiltrating people. And you know why? Their name tells you what they are, familiar spirits. They are familiar with the person that they're really wanting to torment. But that familiarity can come in a number of ways. It can come through ancestry, generational. It can come through environment. It can come through a transference of spirit. It can come through, you know what? It can even come through an animal, because familiar spirits, they want to have a human body, but if they don't have a human body, they don't have any problem with using your pet. So we have to become spiritually astute and spiritually aware. You know, now the church is aware we spirit, soul, body. What next, brothers and sisters? You got to understand how that realm operates. The devil doesn't care nothing about your spirit because he knows it's been sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. But you know what? He wants to destroy your soul and your physical body. So he knows if he can put enough pain and misery on you, you're going to cry out. If he can cause you to doubt God's ability in your life, you're going to cry out. And the minute you cry out, he's coming in with one of those familiar spirits. So we just scheduled this segment right here because I wanted to get this out, number one. And number two, I want to wish you all a prosperous, blessed, knowledgeable, and peaceful new year. And the other thing is, I have a little booklet. It's really about 40 pages on familiar spirits. And I'm going to highlight every program, the inner workings of these spirits. Okay? The other thing, Minister Gloria, back to those familiar spirits and children. Children have a sensitivity that we adults don't seem to have. And I ministered to some other children who woke up in the middle of the night, told their parents that there was a man in the room, you know, floating, just standing there. And the parents said, go back to sleep. Go back to sleep. Don't tell your children go back to sleep. Investigate. Pray with them and find out what is happening spiritually. Mr. Gray, would you like to add anything here?
Yes, being that you were talking about children, we had a segment where there was a child approximately 5 years old, and he was constantly having problems getting along with other kids and adults at school. He would be in a rage. He would fight. He would roll. He would kick. And when the deliverance was taking place, the Lord reveals by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost that this child was molested probably at 11 months in a daycare. And he was unable to defend himself. And this is why he had a attitude of high rage and hostility. He was trying to defend himself even until the age of 5. But the child was delivered. And he now is a normal child in a normal, kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. I had forgotten about him, but you're absolutely right.
Yes, yes.
Because when we first started, he was kicking me,
kicking
my hair.
Yes,
oh!
He did.
But the Holy Ghost revealed what had happened to that child. Now, let's talk about him briefly. We don't have much time, but as long as that thing was there, that's that familiar spirit that child picked up at 11 months being molested and being a baby and couldn't talk. So it really took God to reveal that. But if it had not been revealed, that spirit would have traveled with that little boy all the way up, and who knows what that spirit might have caused him to become in his teenage years, you know, if he lived that long with that rage that he had and that anger. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? He looked like a little angel. This has been Erica Joseph Shepherd and
Gloria.
We hope that you got something out of this little mini message here on the familiar spirit. And we'll be back next week, still on familiar spirits. So this is Erica Joseph Shepherd, and you've been listening to Minister Gloria. And we thank you for joining us today. And this is what I would like to say. The spirits are subject unto you.
Well, that's a little clip. I think that's from 2010. So what it is, you can see, I had forgotten, I even named that segment, The Spirits Are Subject Unto You. But remember, that's the name of my book, The Spirits Are Subject Unto You. That's the purpose. One of the purposes of this ministry is seeing a soul set free. And so I'm not doing anything new by bringing back The Spirits Are Subject Unto You. And kind of listening to, I think I did 5 or 6 teachings and messages with witnesses on The Spirits Are Subject, on the proving the fact that the spirits are subject unto you. So that's my friend, minister in Charleston, South Carolina, as a matter of fact. And I think that little boy we talking about, his picture is on one of my websites that was delivered, that had been actually molested at 11 months old. So a lot of times, and I was talking to somebody about when babies and when children are inappropriately touched and molested, how they can't talk. Oh, that's what I was talking about at Christ Fellowship, how they can't talk, but yet and still the Holy Spirit knows and wants that soul set free. And it's the same thing. Like what happened to my friend Thomas, only his was no molestation, but he was given Ritalin. And so Ritalin had an effect on his life. So you could see the effects that these familiar spirits have. But God loves children. And God doesn't want any of us bound, brothers and sisters, by anything, because the Holy Spirit does not bind us up, even although the Holy Spirit indwells us and leads us and guides us. It does not bind you up, okay, by any stretch of the imagination. And there's some other teachings. I think I have a lot of them on the blog talk, because this is where I first started out. And so a lot of times God will start you somewhere and then train you in the middle and then bring you back. Because why? Because now you've got a better understanding. Now he has given you more of his knowledge. And I also want some of you to know I didn't just start out yesterday. Okay? I didn't just pop up on the scene. I've been around here in the background doing the work. That's what God wants us to do. Just do the work. So I've been on podcasting since 2008, 2009, when I started out with Spirit Go. And still going on from that, commanding these spirits to go, and they have to go. They cannot stay. But certainly the learning more, being taught more about the Holy Ghost. And as you can see, I wrote booklets then, and they're all stuck around here somewhere. We're pulling them out. And what you don't know, but even the spirits are subject unto you is being revamped. I thank God for the Tedliners that God has helping me in the background now. It's being revamped because the editors, when I had it edited to go to print, they took out all the anointing, because I wrote that spirits are subject unto you when I thought I was going to die and had to come off the mission field. And my husband saved my life by taking me to the VA hospital. And that's why, you know, I don't have nothing but praises for God's anointed, be they anointed in the marketplace, the workplace, however. But you know the whole objective. And that's why I want to play some of my old teachings, because back then I was just coming out the mission field. And I knew that the new mission field was the United States of America. And I needed to have foundational teaching to build upon. So that's the stuff I'm going to put back now on my blog talk, Spirits Are Subject Unto You. What is the objective? For you to know him in a greater way, in a better way. Because see, the longer we know him, the more we fall in love with him, and it gets better and better and better and better.
Hallelujah.
My Redeemer.
day. I am grateful. He loved me enough. Just to know him.
Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living.
Look, I ask you to do a dry fast. And a couple of you text me, say, why do a dry fast? Well, let me tell you something. When Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted of the devil for 40 days, it was a 40-day dry fast, brothers and sisters. When Moses went up to the mountaintop to meet with God, it was a dry fast. A dry fast. Nothing. They fasted nothing. Now, I don't encourage anybody to do that, but I'm encouraging you to go from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. fasting is supposed to be to afflict your soul. Okay? It is really not supposed to be to lose no weight. It ain't supposed to be the detox. It's supposed to be to afflict your soul so that your spirit man becomes greater than your soul and your flesh. But this is what I'm going to tell you. Do what you can do. Whatever works for you. Just the same way, I'm not saying it's a Daniel's fast. I'm not saying nothing. I'm saying for 40 days, you fast, you pick what you fast in front. If you cannot do a dry fast, don't do it. And the reason I'm doing it 12 hours, because Jesus said, is not there 12 hours in a day? Jesus counts 12 hours as a day. So in reality, in order to be biblically correct, when you fast for 40 days, if we go by the time frame Jesus sets, you fast in 80 days. Yep. So if you have a problem doing a dry fast, and let me tell you something, you want to see power with God, go back and study the healing explosion of the 50s. When those men, Franklin Hall got the revelation. Franklin Hall passed the revelation on to Oral Roberts, T.L. Osborne, and a whole bunch of other people. Alexander Dowie, a whole other bunch of people. You hear what I'm saying? And when they taught fasting, it was just that, abstinence, abstaining. But people became so modernized, and people began to do things their way. And there are other fasts in the Bible. Esther's fast, Daniel's fast, and they all fasted as God told them to fast. Okay? So I'm telling you, do what God tell you to do. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to do a dry fast for 12 hours because that's the kind of discipline I have. Way back in the day when I was young, I went up in the mountains, used to be Prayer Mountain in California, and I did a 40-day dry fast, and it ain't no joke. I couldn't do the whole 40 days. I started hallucinating. So I had to drink some water and some juice about midway. That's when the fast gets you, about midway, when the devil don't want you to complete it. If you can, do a dry fast. Just one day in your life. Just one day in your whole life. Do a dry fast tomorrow, January the 9th. From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. The rest of the fast, you do it like God give it to you to do, like this one, like I'm saying now. But I want you to get discipline. You must have some discipline in your walk with God. Back in the day when A.A. Allen wrote that book, Atomic Power with God, then Cindy Trim rewrote his book. Joyce Meyer rewrote his book, Atomic Power with God. Well, when A.A. Allen shut himself up in that closet, see, he shut himself up in the closet. He told his wife, whatever happens, do not let me out this door. He said, I got to have more of God. And he afflicted his soul throughout the Bible. You'll see where God called people to fast. God called people to afflict their soul. I think they said with sackcloth and ashes. So what I'm saying to you, if you can't do it, don't do it. But you know what? At least try. God will honor your attempt to do it. But if you start crying, you can't do it, I ain't never done it, and you don't do it, well, you know what? You're not saying that to me. You're saying that to God. I can't do it. I can't do it. Even although you said it. And you know what? God says in his word, I don't know how many times, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan and came out of the water, God said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. When Jesus was transfigured and God spoke from heaven, he said, this is my son. Hear him. Hear him and do whatever he tells you to do. Okay? If you can't do it, don't. But remember, don't go murmuring and complaining. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Do whatever you can do. If you are diabetic, I really ask you, just maybe give up one meal or half a day or just give up whatever. But do it according to your diabetic diet. But I'm going to tell you this. You will experience God. I don't have that song on here that the whining brother and what's the other guy's name? Sing. I thought I knew you on yesterday, but I learned to know you in a better way. Donnie McClurkin and the whining brother. I thought I knew you on yesterday, but I learned to know you in a better way. This is not a fleshly thing. This is not even, I mean, you know, you got to lay your carnal man down, brothers and sisters. I think that some of you not getting as much as God has for you because you think you can get it in the natural. You think it's going to come and manifest in itself in your life with you still being carnal. Hear me, it ain't going to happen. As I explained to you the other day about stages of your salvation, well, there comes a time when you got to come out of the flesh. Fasting will help you do this. That's the purpose of fasting. It ain't no social thing. And let me explain something. Don't get mad with me. It's not going to affect me one way or the other what you do. Because I'm afflicting my own soul. I want more of God for myself. I don't want it for you. Nobody. And you should not want it for me. Because that's impossible. You should want it because you want to get as close and know your God as well as you can. And you can know him better. You can know and you can have more of the fullness of him. But let me tell you something. Knowing God, brothers and sisters, don't let nobody fool you. It comes with a price. What's the price? All you got. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. So when it come time, you know what? Can I tell you what I when I Brother Joe say I'm soft now? Can y'all believe that? He said, you done got soft in your old age. Because when I mentor and train young missionaries, they have to give God 2.4 hours a day. They have to tithe their life to God. 2.4 hours a day is what you owe God. 2.4. You owe God 10% of every day. Now, you want to get close. You want to know him. You give him 2.4 hours out of every day. That's what you owe him. But I kind of backed off, you know, because they said, oh, Sister Erica, you know, you kind of something else. But no, I live this thing. I live it. That's why I could step out on the street and be heading toward the wrong thing, and God can tell me, go left here. I immediately go left. And avoid whatever that catastrophe was I was going to encounter if I went straight. That's why I can get in my car in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a tornado or hurricane, and go where God tell me to go and know that I'm going to end up where I'm supposed to be and nothing's going to hurt me or harm me. That's what fasting will do for you. That's what you got to afflict. The reason some of you are not healed, because you listen to more of yourself and you got blockages. You ain't hearing God give you instructions. Of course, I believe you will follow them, but you got some bondage that you need to afflict your soul to get rid of. And fasting will do that for you. And nobody told me, you know what? My biggest teacher in this walk with God has been OJT, on the job training. And it will be your biggest victory when you allow God's Holy Spirit to train you, equip you, teach you, show you. But brothers and sisters, your soulish man has got to be brought under subjection, and that's what fasting will do for you. What is your soulish man? Your heart, your mind, your will, your intellect, your heart, your what? Your heart, your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions have to be brought under subjection to God's own Holy Spirit, which is your regenerated human spirit. That's why you're fasting. That's why I'm asking you to fast. But understand this, however you do it like you want to and end up like you've been getting, end up. That's what happens. But aren't you ready to grow? How long are you going to be on milk? God talks about meat, you know, God talks about maturing. God talks about growing in the inner man. Well, tomorrow starts the fast. I will be doing the dry fast. Whatever you do, just do something. Okay? And don't worry about it. Don't let the devil use something stupid to stress you out. You do what you can do. And the other thing, God don't want to stress you out about this. You're supposed to enter into this fast with ease. Why? Because you're supposed to be saved, delivered, and healed. And you're supposed to enter this fast with the right objective, too, to afflict yourself for more of Christ Jesus.
God's love for you goes on and on. When other hearts have failed, this love forgave from Calvary's cross, where that love was made. But you must believe He wants the best. Let your heart be strong and your faith arise as I give you what I know. Well, I know there's a God in heaven night and day, he thinks of you. He hurts to see you crying. He won't see you as he hopes for you. You're always on his mind. So trust his heart and lean on him. And let the Father lead the way. Many things of God I still don't know. But through the years I've learned.
Jesus, brothers and sisters, this fast is not for you anyway, but you're going to benefit. This fast is for the saving of souls. The primary objective is for the saving of the souls of our family members. Okay? And then somebody else put a question over here on the speaker, and they said, can familiar spirits be sent? Yes. Familiar spirits can be conjured up through necromancy and divination. And a low witch, an ADAP, that's one of the first things that they learn. Is I'm going to be doing something with Sheila Zielinski, and I'm going to be breaking down how they work and how they do that and how they utilize familiar spirits through divination and necromancy. I'll try to find that book I wrote years ago on familiar spirits that's biblically sound and Bible-based. So you can do this fast. This fast, you know what? Let me add something here. Why would any born-again believer think anything that the Bible calls you to do will hurt you? I mean, for real. Why would any believer think anything God called you to do would be wrong for, or harmful to you? It just don't even make sense. It doesn't even make sense. But yet and still, the devil will tell you to take some supplements. You don't even know what spirits was in the manufacture of the supplements, and you'll go take them without a thought. You'll go spend money on them without a thought as to what spirits went into those supplements. And what was the spirit that went into that when you went to the naturopath and they drew your blood and told you what was in your blood? You won't think a thing about it. But God says something simple. Esther fast, Moses fast, the men on the ship with Paul fasted. Look, the men on the ship with Jonah fasted. And God saved them from something. Wake up, men and women of God. Wake up. The devil got some of y'all in a stupor. In a stupor. God gonna tell you something. It's in the word. Unless you just don't believe the word of God. And then if you don't believe the word of God, you got a big problem called what? Doubt and unbelief. I got lots of teaching on doubt and unbelief. I'm going to put that all over there on that spirits are subject unto you. Because I don't have time to go back. So it'll be there. And you know what? A lot of the people that benefit from my ministry, they done been through everything I've ever written. I guarantee you they don't think like some of you. Because the whole objective of the TED line, the whole objective of every podcast from 2008 to today was to connect you and reconnect you to Jesus, to the power of God, to the understanding and wisdom and knowledge of God's own Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. If you want to doubt something, doubt this New Age crap. If you want to doubt yoga, doubt acupuncture, which draws blood. The life of the body is in the blood. Doubt them tattoo artists. But don't doubt the word of God. That's the devil tricking you with his lying and deceiving self. Okay? Don't doubt God. The devil ain't got nothing good for you. Jump in the river of life. I'm going to give you a little tip. When I did my first 40-day dry fast, I went up in the mountains, but this is what you could do. Shut yourself in. Do a shut-in. You know what a shut-in is? If you can, if you don't work, if you have difficulty, go in a room. That's what Brother A.A. Allen did. And he shut the door. And he didn't come out. And I tell you what, too. Them demons will raise up, and they will come up. You'll see them come up out of you. Just go in the room, shut the door, and say, I'm going to shut in with God. Remember, that's what God did with Noah. He put him in the ark. Then God closed the door from the outside and shut Noah in for 40 days. Or however many days. So do a shut-in. Go in your room, get in your bed, and stay there with your Bibles, DVDs. It's easy to do a dry fast like that, if you can. But you can do this. You know what? Turn the fast over to God. He'll walk you right through this. I'll run you right through it or whatever. But another way is to shut yourself in. Shut yourself in your bedroom. Shut yourself in your living room, dining room. A.A. Allen used to shut himself in a closet off from his kitchen. He said he'd be smelling the food through the door, but he wouldn't come out. He told God he wasn't coming out until he gave him more. And the rest of the story is history. I think he's the greatest deliverance minister that ever lived. But did y'all know that Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin started out as deliverance ministers? And the reason God gave, the reason it turned into faith is because they saw that people couldn't stay delivered. That's what Kenneth Hagin said. You know the story with Dr. Oral Roberts. He started out doing nothing but casting out demons. Study the lives of the life lives of some of these people. And you'll see there is a brokenness. And it's so great when God breaks you out of the natural and delivers you into the realm of his own Holy Spirit. Hey, this is the Erica Shepherd coming to you from the mountaintops, tops, plural, Dalton, Georgia, in and out of Dawsonville. I'll see you tomorrow on the TED Line, if the Lord satisfies.